grace to you and peace from God who creates and grows all things. Amen. This text is a wonderful text, and I really appreciate the fact that so few hymns have been written with this text in mind. I know that because back in the old days when I used to choose hymns for the service, we would get to the Vine and Branch Sunday, and I'm telling you, the catalog of hymns for this is really... Is that not true, Carl? Although you seem to have found them all.
I do find them all.
You found them all. I'm gonna send them to my former organist because she could never find them either. But it's an amazing text, so it's funny we don't sing more about it, this powerful image in the Gospel of John of the vine and the branches. That somehow our relationship with God and the way that God works in the world and calls us to work in the world is an image of growth, an image of fruit. Now, I don't know how much you know about the vintner's art, but one of the joys of going to seminary in Northern California is that I got to take many a field trip, strictly for research purposes, to the wine country of Napa and Sonoma Valley. And I learned there on one of my first trips that all of those vines that you see growing out there do not grow on their own root stock. Many, many years ago, both Europe and France were attacked by a kind of nematode. Anyway, there was a disease that killed off many, many of the varietal grapevines. It attacked the root system. So, to reestablish the vineyards, they took the strongest root stock, the stock that survived, and they planted that root stock, and they grafted on the varietal vines, so that in an odd kind of way, the grapes that are produced, the fruit that is produced, is not at all related to the root from which it grows. I find that a fascinating metaphor. Today in the gospel lesson, Jesus talks about God being that root stock. And if you think about it, although we are related in some way to God, we are made of different stuff. And yet, through God's grace, we have been grafted on to that rootstock in Jesus Christ, so that, it says, we might bear fruit. We might bear fruit. I think that's an interesting metaphor. When we talk about how God abides with us and how we abide with God, it's, I think, contained within that idea of abiding. We abide with God in God's grafting us to God's life and mission. But it's for something, for a purpose. And in 1 John, we find that purpose is love. Love. This is a great text, but it's a bothersome one. Well, you've heard over and over again about how God is love. And in fact, I think that's a wonderful text. God is love. But what kind of love? Over the years, it seems to me that when we say God is love, we've sort of watered it down a little bit. It's sort of like God is, you know, love. Isn't that nice? Isn't that special? We've reduced love in this text to that kind of emotional, sanguine, sort of transparent, mushy stuff that we read in all of the books that tell us that we ought to be nice to one another. God is love. A certain humanist says, well, if, and a much loved humanist, by the way, says that if God is love, why do we have two words for the same thing? Instead of talking about God, let's talk about love. Isn't that nice? Isn't that special? The problem is that while God may be love, love is not God. They are two different things. So when we reduce this text to just being nice to one another and liking one another, when we reduce what it means to be a Christian community to why don't we just all get along, we lose the power of what it means to be loved by God. Do you remember the text? It said it is not that we first love God, but that God first loved us. And that's what transforms us and helps us to bear fruit. It's not that we've grafted ourselves onto the root of a God who we like, but that God has grafted us onto God's self and God's mission. Sometimes what it means to be Christian doesn't seem to be all that loving. Surprisingly, there are times that we don't get along. Shocking, isn't it? You've never experienced that, have you? Times when we disagree about things, about powerful and important things, about sexuality, about the Eucharist, about our responsibility for the poor. It's hard to believe that good Christians could disagree about such things. And yet from that discord has come phenomenal fruit. Have you ever been to a vineyard and watched them pick grapes? There is no such thing as a grape-picking machine. The only way to pick grapes is to actually walk through the vines. There is no clean way to do it. It's amazing. They walk down and they find a cluster of grapes that are ready to be picked, and they have a hooked knife and they pull out that thing and they toss it into a big, huge bucket, and they walk down, and at the end of the day they are covered with dirt and sweat and grape juice and bug stuff, and they're itching and carrying on just like we ought to be. To bear and harvest fruit as the Christian church is not always easy or always clean. It takes blood, sweat, and tears. It takes work. Bearing fruit is dirty business, sweaty business. And yet, it is the business to which we have been called in the church. I think it's a different vision than that sort of sanguine vision, sort of theoretical idea of what the church should be like, that we should come together and just all get along, and wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just be perfect and never have discord? But it wasn't true for Jesus' disciples in his life, and nor is it true for his disciples today. We are called to be grafted to the true vine, it says in our gospel lesson, to be abide together as the body of Christ, so that we might bear fruit. The text doesn't tell us what that fruit might be. And that fruit may look different from every community. In some places, the fruit bears itself in feeding the hungry and the poor. In other places, it feeds the soul with music and joy. In other places, the word is proclaimed. In other places, it's cleaning up the environment. In other places, it's all of those things at once. In some places, it is welcome to those who are unwelcomed anywhere else in the Christian church. For others, it is a place where one can find peace. But it's all bearing fruit because God first and always loves us. You are the vines. You are those branches spreading out on fence posts and byways and streets and in your jobs and in your families, collecting God's light and sun, being fed with the nutrition of God's word, that you might bear fruit, that all of God's people might feast on the plump, sweet juiciness of the one who calls us love. So bear fruit, the fruit of God's word, the fruit of God's love. Amen.